Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, 20 minutes past 5 and now into your verbal fitness sessions with Abdullah Bayat, the founder and chief instructor of SKR Mixed Martial Arts Academy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Abdullah Bayat.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, Jess?
Alhamdulillah. Hope you're doing well, my brother.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, all good.
Alhamdulillah. All right, we've got lots of questions, so I'm going to head straight into it, right? The first question we see, Abdullah, is what is the best way to lose fat?
Okay, yeah, the best way to lose fat, okay, there's a variety of ways of doing this, right? One could employ the method of HIIT, which is high-intensity interval training. This process speeds up metabolism and encourages EPOC training, which is excess post-oxygen consumption, post-oxygen exercise consumption. Mm-hmm. And what this does is encourages the body to burn energy for up to 2 hours after exercise. So this also encourages the burning of body fat in the process. And the other method would also be employing cardio activity at a rate sub 70% one's heart rate max. Now, this zone is generally ideal for fat burning capacity, but is also devoid of the release of certain hormones, such as endorphins and adrenaline, which are both potent fat burning hormones and chemicals. However, it can also be tedious and monotonous over a prolonged period, as this type of activity will only yield significant results over prolonged periods. What I generally suggest is a combination of both, sometimes on the same day or sometimes on alternate days.
Okay, and then now the next one says, should I do cardio first or weight training first?
The answer to this one depends on your goals. If your goal is to burn body fat, then research has indicated that doing weight training after cardio burns up to 8% more calories than doing the reverse. Now, bear in mind that one's body goes into a catabolic state, which is a state of shock, and it doesn't then become as receptive to exercise as when it's in an anabolic state. So it goes catabolic after about an intense 90-minute cardio workout, provided you've now stopped replenishing sodium and electrolyte and water levels adequately. So the risk of dehydration will significantly reduce your strength levels in your weight training and also increase your injury risk profile. But doing weight training first and then cardio might also produce similar results, because what then happens is some of the weight training programs stress the muscles to a point of MMF, which means momentary muscular failure. Mm. In order to induce hypertrophy, you take your muscles or stress it out to that point so that it then grows during recovery. So common sense will tell you that if a muscle is depleted of its full energy value, running on a treadmill with the aid of fatigued muscles would also increase your risk injury profile. So in a nutshell, I'd say do cardio activity as a warm-up before your weight training or as a cool-down after your weight training, such as brisk walking or recumbent cycling or rowing. Or alternatively, you can use your weight training, which is something I subscribe to all the time. You use your weight training as a form of cardio by shortening your rest intervals between sets. So if you have 10 exercises, for example, you line the 10 exercises up, you can superset them or stagger set them do them in single sets. And what you then do is you shorten your rest intervals to 30 seconds or a minute, thus keeping your heart rate up, thereby ensuring you get a cardiovascular workout along with a weight training session, and this also saves time. So instead of doing a 90-minute workout, you can reduce that significantly by half of that and have a really good workout in about 45 minutes.
Okay. On to the next one. It says, yeah, do you have any exercises I could do at my desk to burn extra calories without bothering my coworkers? Like, I don't want to see to fail our engineer doing stretches here and his foot is in my face sort of example.
Okay. Without disturbing your coworkers. All right. Now, simply, there are two ways to burn body fat.
Right.
Number one is to create a calorie deficit by your exercise, or to create a deficit by consuming less calories. So elaborating on the first one, exercise is conducive to creating this deficit congruent with ketosis, which is the body's ketogenic state, or a state of burning body fat, can be defined as an activity intense enough to stimulate your cooling system via sweat glands. In other words, the activity must make you perspire. So that it's beneficial enough to shed calories, right? So giving you exercises such as twiddling your thumbs or circling your ankles would not yield satisfactory results and would definitely not disturb your coworkers, as they'd be convinced that you indeed are the one disturbed. So the sensible approach would be to create a calorie deficit by eating less empty calories while you're seated, and perhaps consume sugar-free caffeinated beverages if you're not caffeine sensitive, which helps speed up your metabolism, thus creating a vector for fat burning or calorie consuming.
Okay, cool. Now the next one is, what is the difference between hypertonics like Energade and GAIN isotonic?
Okay, it's a very in-depth discussion with a few different schools of thought, but in a nutshell, there's no difference between them. They basically focus on replenishing fluids and lost throughout a workout. And research has indicated that Gatorade, which is the USA equivalent of game and Energade and all these sports drinks, have indicated that there's actually no difference or no lasting results or long-term results or benefit with regards to rehydration. So there's really very little difference between an energy drink and a vitamin drink or a hypertonic drink or isotonic drink and water. So stick to water is cheaper and you basically won't be dwindled into spending your hard-earned cash on making someone else rich.
Okay, before we go into the next question, if there's no difference or effect with these type of drinks, then why is it after a soccer game or whatever sport you play, if you've had Energade or game before the game, why is it that you take so long to fall off to sleep afterwards?
I suppose that varies from individual to individual. Some people have fast metabolisms that are actually activated during exercise. Some people have slow metabolism, so exercise doesn't have any effect. They'll still be able to sleep soundly. So that might not have any effect with regards to energy. The caffeine content in them are minimal, if not anything. If you're talking about Red Bull and all these things, yeah, then you might say that you have, because the caffeine content will keep you awake, even though you've burnt out some of it significantly during your workout. The remnants of it might still keep you awake and keep you alert and all that for a few hours after. But with energy, they generally don't have stimulants such as caffeine and so forth.
Okay, now what are the best foods to eat before working out, and what should I eat after a workout?
Before a workout, complex carbs, so you have energy for your workout. For example, if you have a banana or a slice of whole wheat bread with peanut butter and honey, this is the ideal pre-workout snack. And it's generally sufficient for an intense 60-minute workout. It's laden with sufficient sources of energy, such as your glucose, your carbohydrates, and essential fats. And post-workout, your quality proteins laden with amino acids. Now, why I say laden with amino acids? Because you do get proteins devoid of those amino acids. So they don't help you with your repair, and they don't help you with your transport of your proteins into your muscles. Your amino acids are actually building blocks for muscle. So this will help you restore protein sources in your muscle. So consume foods such as egg whites or lean white meats or protein shakes. If you subscribe to supplements in there, take protein shakes added with whey or perhaps glutamine for recovery afterwards.
All right, this one is very interesting. What is the difference between weight machines and free weights?
Okay, there is a significant difference between the two of them. Both of them yield similar results. However, this is a discussion that we could have for quite some time. What I've discovered in my years of training is that weight training gives you better results if hypertrophy is what you're interested in. However, because the weight is imbalanced and due to the fact that the body only responds to overload, so you must bear that in mind and repeat that the body only responds to overload because your body kind of reaches a complacent steady state relatively quickly. And once you attain that steady state, you kind of you hit the ceiling, you hit the roof, and that's known as a state of plateau. So once you plateau, when you can't break through that barrier, you need to increase your threshold of pain. You need to increase your threshold of weight, and thereby increasing your strength. The old adage or the old story or fable or myth with regards to Atlas. You remember the guy on the Atlas that had the world on his shoulder? Now with Atlas, the myth is that the guy started off as a kid with by carrying a calf that he got very attached to daily, on a daily basis. And as the calf grew, so did he grow to his strength. And eventually he was able to lift the entire cow because he'd grown in strength over time, and so had the cow grown. So that should give us an indication that over time and progressive overload and resistance, you do increase in strength, but you can't keep it the same weight. So that was just slightly off topic to help you understand as to how the body responds in terms of training. Now with weight training, it's exactly the same, but you need to understand that with the increased overload or with the increased work rate on the muscle groups that you're working, you are definitely going to sustain injury if your form is not good. So you're going to need someone to spot you and so on and so forth. So the uncontrolled weight that comes in has two effects. The detrimental effect is that your injury risk profile increases, and then the benefit to it is that you use your stabilizers to help you balance yourself. So you're using your core stabilizers, your abs, your glutes, all the really important muscles. So you're growing all around in terms of bodily strength. So that's the free weights. On the machine aspect, the benefits to the machine is that you might not grow as quickly as the free weights, but it's more balanced. So if you're starting on a weight training program and you want progressive overload at a safe pace without the need of a spotter and so forth. Engage in machines and then gradually advance towards free weights. A combination of both is usually the best because then the body's in a constant state of shock and then it responds, like I said, to overload.
Brilliant. Now, why are my muscles sore after a workout? And some people, I just got a message now, why do I get headaches after? So you can just add to that. Why are the muscles sore after a workout? And why do I get headaches after a workout?
Okay, very large. I'll answer the latter part of the question. A large number of headaches are actually due to dehydration. So lots of it could be due to the fact that you haven't hydrated adequately during your workout or before your workout or post-workout. So ensure that your water intake is high. Also ensure that you dress in clothing sufficient for breathability. You know what I mean? In your workout. So if you're going in with tight-fitting clothing that doesn't encourage breathing and your head is covered with a scarf or whatever the case is and you don't allow your head to breathe, obviously you are going to heat. So heating might actually play a significant role in your body, overheating, which might also then aid in, or contribute towards your headaches. On the first part of the question, why are muscles sore after your workout? DOMS. D-O-M-S. It's delayed onset of muscular soreness. So this normally occurs about 48 hours after your workout. The old school of thought said to us that the lactic acid buildup in your body is at its peak at 48 hours. But research has indicated that your lactate threshold and your lactate levels stabilize within a set period of time, and that's within 24 hours after your workout. So that must be thrown out the window, right? Or that school of thought, the theory is thrown out of the window. Fact is now proven that the reason why your body aches 48 hours at its peak is because of the lengthening and shortening of the muscle, which is called concentric and eccentric training. Concentric training is the employment of muscles that help you push, or your agonist muscles. They help you push and propel yourself. Your eccentric training are the muscles employed in breaking down the muscle or slowing down the muscle. That's called negative repping, and they employ antagonist muscles. Now, using antagonist muscles is what causes these microscopic tears in your muscle fibers, and that's what actually makes you sore. It's not actually the lactic acid buildup in your body. So DOMS, delayed onset of muscular soreness, normally occurs 48 hours of your workout, and the best relief would be doing light activity of a similar fashion, massage, stretching. All those things are really, really good. Or taking vitamin C and antioxidants just to help restore everything back to normal.
Cool. Yeah. So if your muscles are sore, you can just talk to you, say, you know, don't be dumb.
Something like that. Your muscles would actually retort and say, well, hey, we can have a debate on that.
I'm sure. Abdullah, the last question, right? How do I get rid of these flabby arms?
Okay, the answer to that is not as simple as just over air and not in a, I wouldn't be able to put that in one. So it varies from person to person. Your genetics play a role, your diet play a role. What's very important to understand is different people store body fat in different places on your body. Some might have a similar problem around their tummy, some around their thighs, some around their butt. So what you need to do is consult an expert in the field, get hold of a biokineticist or personal trainer or nutritionist. They will then do an assessment on you and see where your body fat is storing the most, and then prescribe an holistic approach, because a multi-pronged approach is always better than saying to you, okay, go and do tricep extensions and do 1,000 of that every day and you'll be okay, because that's not attacking the problem. That's not getting to the root and the source of the problem. So lifestyle adjustment, speak to a professional, but on a personal one-on-one capacity. They'll do an assessment and give you a program congruent with your goals and adjust it accordingly.
Jazakallah khair, Abdullah, for that. I always really enjoy these verbal fitness sessions, as I call it. I feel a lot fitter after just by listening to you speak.
You're welcome, Jazakallah, for having me.
Ameen. We'll speak again. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.